Relationships either bloom or wither in the face of uncertainties. And with unrest brewing over the horizon, Caston and his Baroness enjoy what little peaceful days they have left. Has a funny habit of yanking everything you know and love right from underneath your feet when you least expect it. But sometimes the signs come in the form of restless whispers and unpleasant letters. That would be the fate of Caston Hammer and his wife, the Baroness, in the future. But for now, everything's fine. The couple can be seen arriving home just as twilight approaches.
Alright, let's boogie.
Caston exits from the carriage first, in all his military garbs. He stretches his back and groans when a knot between his shoulders finally pops.
Now they are. Oh my god. Wait, come on. Is that your back? Sure it was. That hit the spot. I'm starting to feel the itis coming on. You good, sweetheart? Or did those desserts knock you out?
Can't you just carry me, husband?
I totally would. Only problem is that I'm already carrying some cheesecake, you feel me? So, come on now.
The Baroness grumbles, but accepts her husband's hand. The Antossian warrior gently helps her off the carriage, and the two make their way inside the manor.
Welcome home,
servants
Captain.
Greet them with a bow, and then continue with their duties for
Baroness.
The evening.
Lord and Lady Hammer, welcome home. I trust your evening out was enjoyable.
I might have overestimated myself at dinner. The desserts were nothing less than excellent.
I bet. For a minute, I thought she was about to fight the queen for the last cupcake.
It honestly surprised the Baroness that one of her best friends never told her husband how often they used to playfully argue over who gets the last dessert back when they were kids. Sometimes even Lord Reyes was caught in the crossfire. She'd never forget how the Ascendant fell out laughing when cheesecake splattered all over Reyes' favorite jacket. In the end, he was so pissed off that he chased them all over the academy grounds. Those were simpler times, ones that the Baroness cherished dearly. But lately, she finds herself wanting to recreate those same memories with Caston. Anyways, dinners at the Royal Palace with King Red and his queen are something the couple do once a month. Not only could they catch up with their friends, but the four could also exchange information without having to worry about it falling into the wrong hands or ears. Plus, the food made by the royal chef would always be something that the Baroness looked forward to, and Caston is never one to deny his wife. But playful bickerings aside, there was something that she caught when she and Caston said their goodbyes. It continues to weigh heavily on the Baroness's mind, right until she steps into their bedroom.
Sweetheart. Babe. Hey, you with me?
Yes, darling. Sorry.
Is everything all right? What's going on in that gorgeous head of yours?
Did you notice His Majesty behaved differently tonight?
His Majesty. That'll never not be weird.
Husband, please. I'm being serious.
Her thoughts replay every scene that happened during dinner. They were greeted by the Queen's lady-in-waiting and were escorted directly to the dining hall right afterwards. The Baroness was too preoccupied with the Queen to pay much attention to King Rhett.
I mean, as far as I know, Rhett's fine. We talked shop for a bit after dinner and we made plans to go hunting this weekend.
Really? Hunting?
Yeah. He didn't want to go at first, but the Queen started roasting his shooting skills, so he's gotta go now. Hey. Did something happen?
The Queen was upset.
See, now I thought we were all having a good time together. You two even had a little food fight. Why'd she have an attitude?
I'm not sure. I just noticed how tense she was as we're about to leave. Something's bothering her.
Well, I'll talk to Red again if you want. Just try to see what's up. Maybe it'll help you figure out what's going on with the Queen. Sound good?
Yes. Thank you, Kasten. I appreciate your thoughtfulness.
Don't sweat it, beautiful. Now, let's clean up for bed, yeah? We've had a long day, and I could use a hot soak. Preferably with you in it.
You're insatiable as ever, husband.
Only for you, baby girl. But seriously, I wouldn't keep me on edge for too long. Or else...
Or else
The Baroness lets out a soft laugh and slowly undresses him. His heart starts to race when his wife takes off her shoulder cape with great care. And when she purposely slows down right around the buttons, her teasing nearly drives Kasten insane. Babe. A little dazed at the sight of Kasten's bare body. In times like this, the Baroness loves counting her blessings. Unfortunately, she doesn't savor the view for long before Kasten gives her a taste of her own medicine. Come here. The next few hours were filled with splashing water, laughter, and moans. A nightly routine for Kasten and his wife at this point. The servants know better than to disturb their lord and lady after the sun's gone down. But sometimes things don't go quite as you'd want them to. A knock on the door after their third bath is a testament to that.
Yeah. Forgive me for disturbing your evening, Lord, but I...
Eyes front?
Right. My apologies, Lord. I have urgent letters for Her Grace. They're from the Coastal Empire.
Let's see them.
All right, thanks. That'll be all. You know what to do.
You've got a bunch of letters from your friend, sweetheart.
Do I now?
His wife would normally be smiling whenever she receives a letter from abroad. Kasten absentmindedly wonders if it has something to do with the Queen.
Yeah, they've been coming in a lot lately, huh? You planning on having guests?
No, husband. I'm not planning on having visitors. They're acquaintances at best. Ones that have too much time on their hands. And very little regard for what our relationship is meant to bring. What do you mean to me?
It's a wonderful evening, though. A clear sky with a full moon. A perfect time to walk underneath the stars, if the two didn't already get so much exercise. Definitely too beautiful a night to go to bed with a frown. So, Kasten strides over to the vanity table, picks up a hairbrush, and a comfortable atmosphere sets between them. Kasten's brushing was so gentle that she nearly dozes off.
There's something about the kind of woman that wants you but don't need you. Hey, I can't figure it out. Something about her. Cause she walks like a boss, talks like a boss, manicured nails to set the pedicure off. She's fly effortlessly.
Is that the kind of woman you're into, Kasten?
Hey, I'm into you, baby girl, okay? Besides, I mean, that is you, don't you think? Beautiful, independent,
That's my wife.
Should we talk about what's in those letters?
Mm-mm.
No.
Let's just forget about the Queen and her letters, all right? It's a chill night. Let's just enjoy it.
Okay.
Whatever it is, we'll deal with it tomorrow. Together.
Together.
A single marriage alliance isn't enough to cement the peace between warring countries. At best, it's a first step. But the Baroness did everything she could to guide the two nations to the future her best friend envisioned. Entossian soldiers became a familiar sight around the manor. Almost as familiar as Caston's boyish grin. There were never as many soldiers just casually walking around back in the Empire. But Entossia was different. The Baroness's first impression of them was less than welcoming, to put it mildly. After all, these were the same men that accompanied Caston during their first meeting, and the Baroness assumed that they were cut from the same cloth as their commander. But she hoped that she'd be proven wrong. The first time she crossed paths with Caston's men, they were nothing but respectable. They were nothing but respectful, albeit distant. Their propriety actually set her heart at ease a little. But over time, as her relationship with Caston grew warmer, so did hers with the Entossian soldiers.
Good morning, Lieutenant.
How's it hanging, Your Grace? Here to watch us train?
Perhaps later, Roger. Have you still been practicing your swordplay?
You know I have. Come check me out later. Don't tell the commander, though. He'd probably kill me just for looking at you. Let alone inviting you.
I'll be sure to spare you my husband's wrath.
Sounds like a plan. Catch you later.
Good morning, Your Grace. Enjoying your reading?
I am, Bruce.
Well, don't let me disturb you.
Enjoy your training.
While she could never be as approachable as her husband, the Baroness was secretly proud that she could finally remember most of their names.
Good morning, Captain Rex. Busy day ahead?
The man politely bows.
Good morning to you as well, Your Grace. And yeah, today's pretty packed. Most of the men here are recruits that the commander taught a few months back. Today they're getting assessed by him and a few other brass before they get their first deployment.
Then let's hope my husband won't be too hard on them.
Wait. Deployment? She wondered what type of deployment the captain could be talking about. After all, there was no war. Why would Entossia need more soldiers? She pushed those thoughts to the back of her head.
Would you kindly debrief me on my husband's schedule for the day, Captain?
Of course, Your Grace. Aside from the assessment, there's been some trouble at the borders. Apparently, it's pretty urgent, so the commander's looking into it. Other than that, it's a pretty slow day. Just the usual drills and training exercises.
I see.
Did you want to accompany the commander today? If so, I'm pretty sure we can have that arranged.
While it's a bit embarrassing that the captain was able to guess what she was thinking, it's a beautiful day. Perhaps working at the gazebo would be a nice change of pace.
I would like that very much, Captain Rex. While you're at it, please tell the maids to bring my books and letters out too.
If she were a lesser woman, she would have thrown all those nasty letters into the fireplace. But those Imperial ladies, whether they know it or not, also serve as something of a makeshift spy network for the Baroness to keep informed. They have their role to play. And so the Baroness mentally prepares herself for the next grueling hours as she settles in at the gazebo. Servants come in groups of two, led by Captain Rex. One sets the table while the other begins attending to her. By the time the maids arrive to deliver what the Baroness requested, the table is laden with tea and some light snacks. A young maid even arranged a vase full of Caston's favorite flowers as the centerpiece.
Your letters, Your Grace.
Thank you, Clara. And you, Captain Rex. Thank you. You may go. No, just the captain. You two stay.
Yes, Your Grace.
The cool morning breeze and the sweet smell of the garden takes away the stress that all those letters brought. It isn't long until she's lost in her own little world. The scratching of her pen and swords clashing against each other sort of acting like a white noise. The gazebo is perfectly situated between the sprawling gardens and open fields for Kasten's soldiers. It's something the couple agreed to when the manor was still under construction, so it isn't strange that broken conversations tend to travel around the gazebo.
Do you know how hard it is to find a place near the capital nowadays? Imperials are gathering at the border.
The border?
Now everyone's moving south.
Something's happening in the capital for sure.
How do you know?
I know what a cool looks like. And so should you. Isn't that how Red became king?
Wait. Do you think the war's gonna keep going? Capital Red won't let that happen.
Maybe. Maybe not. Not everyone's on board with this whole unification thing. That's still the same, no matter how happy the commander and his wife are.
What's the point of their marriage, then?
Hey, brother, keep your voice down. Captain Rex said the commander's wife is around here somewhere.
Better she is than the commander. Dude's merciless when it comes to her.
Right. Simping for Imperials. Is that what we're doing now?
Boys, if you have time to gossip, that means you have the energy to keep training.
You're right. How much of that did you...
Come now. Get to it.
Right away.
Ha. Who's shipping for the Imperials now?
You two are dismissed.
Of course. I'll come back later. Come, quickly.
Being an Imperial noble means separating your true self from your title. Segregating emotions into neat little boxes. Children as young as 10 years old under aristocratic families are taught to distinguish between what they would do and what the politicians they grew up to be would do. The Baroness is no different. By the time she was 14, she knew how to swap personas whenever the situation called for it. Going from the Imperial Baroness, who's cold and detached, to the scholar who's obsessed with books, to just herself. A woman trying to figure out how to be a good wife to her husband during a dangerous political climate between their countries. But which mask should she use when her marriage is put into question?
Remember, you're in public. You can't let the soldiers see you act out.
Still, the gossip earlier did give her some insights into what's stirring underneath the surface. The Empire still views Intasia as their lesser. The Intasians aren't as welcoming to the Imperials as she might have hoped. Something ominous was coming her way, and she had never before felt so out of her depths.
What am I going to do?
When the Baroness shifts her attention to the training fields, her husband is already there, and surrounded by his countrymen. Unlike her, Kasten embraces his feelings, both good and bad. The Baroness has learned that it's his particular trait that makes him so charismatic and approachable. Compared to her, Kasten's a lot more emotionally open, and she admires him for that. Out of all his achievements, Kasten's firm ease in his position in life impresses her the most.
Hey, babe. Enjoying the show?
Of course, husband. I'm very entertained.
I'm coming over there.
No, you're not. Focus, please. We've still got one more drill to run.
All right, fine. Just hurry it up. All four of you against me.
All four?
Commander, you can't take all of us at once.
Yeah, there's no way.
Okay, let's go then. On the count of ten. One, two, ten.
Wait, what?
Hey! Ha! Nice job, guys. Go team. I'll give you a C for effort.
Screw you,
Carter. If y'all want any more, I'll be over at the gazebo. How about that? Hey, baby.
I see you looking extra fine in the sundress today.
Kasten, you say that no matter what I wear.
Yeah, well, I don't know what to tell you. It's true. You had me, dual wielding out there.
Dual wielding?
Yeah, you know, I had the sword in my hand, and then looking at you gave me a second sword.
You're stupid.
Hey, smart enough to hit the jackpot with someone like you.
That silver tongue of yours gets you everywhere, I suppose. Here, the servants packed too many snacks. Have some with me. Hey, Karsten. Do you ever think about what you'd like to do in the future?
You're gonna have to be more specific, babe. What's this about?
The sudden increase of Imperial soldiers at the border. The rumors of a coup.
No. Yeah, I've heard.
Okay, then. These things don't bode well, Karsten.
Yeah. It's freaking me out too, sweetheart. If this rebellion stuff is real, then the boys and I might have to head out and handle it.
But that would be...
But it won't be another war. I promise you that, sweetheart.
We can't control the future. But I would love to know what sort of future you're imagining for us, husband.
Well, you see, I'm a simple man. I want every night to end with me helping my gorgeous wife undress before stepping in the tub with her.
Is that right?
Yep.
Then in return, I'd like for you to stop destroying my good panties, Karsten. Some of those were my favorites.
I'm telling you, it's the lace, okay? It feels good against my teeth, babe. Besides, don't I always get you new ones?
It's the principle of the thing, so no. Bad soldier. No!
Then you're gonna have to grip that leash a little tighter, babe, because you know you'd be driving me crazy.
Getting a little handsy in front of all your men.
Yeah, and?
I want this for us, Karsten.
Want what?
This. More days like these. You at home and safe with me. Perhaps one day, the world will be boring enough for us to discuss the names of our children.
I'm sorry, children?
Yes, children. We're having them. It's non-negotiable. And you'll teach them all you know about soldiering, while I show them how to maneuver in politics. They'll be unstoppable by their 13th birthdays.
So you've just got it all figured out then, huh? Okay, what's up, guys? So I just got finished recording this whole thing, and I just wanted to say some stuff at the end, which is, thank you for listening, for one. I hope you enjoyed. I know this is going to be, like, kind of polarizing for a lot of you. A lot of you are going to love it. A lot of you are going to hate it. But it's just something new I thought I'd try. You know, you never know what you're going to do next until you can try new stuff. So if you enjoyed this sort of format, then let me know. Obviously, we're still going to be doing the regular role plays, but I might do some stuff like this in the future too, because I'm guessing, I haven't edited this yet, but I'm guessing this is going to be a lot quicker for me to make than like the regular full-length audios. Hey, what's good, guys? Future Desmond here. I lied. This took way longer than I thought it was going to take. And I'm going to attribute that to this being something new. I should have known, but I apologize. The next one genuinely will not take that long now that I know what I'm doing with audiobooks. All right, back to that guy who thought this was only going to take a week or so. So this would be like a nice thing to kind of throw into the mix every now and then, just to like keep content coming more consistently. But like we definitely still be doing the full length, like regular role plays like we've been doing. So yeah, let me know what you thought. And thank you, Lady Monotone, for the fan fiction that this was based off of. That was super cool to read, and I hope everyone enjoys it as much as I did. All right, till the next one. Peace.